Hello, welcome to Microsoft Community Insight Podcast, where we share insights and stories from community experts to stay updated in Azure. My name is Nicholas, and I will be your host today. In this podcast, we'll dive into LangChain with Azure AI Search. But before we get started, I remind you to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode, and will help us reach more amazing people like yourself. So today in this podcast episode, we will have the amazing Rishabh Kumar. Can you start by introducing yourself, please?
Hi there. Thank you, Nicholas, for having me. I'm Rishabh. I work at Twilio as a staff developer evangelist, and I'm also a Microsoft MVP. And yeah, I love building cloud, DevOps, and recently AI stuff. So you can find me online. Most of you have probably seen me around the Twitter or the LinkedIn space and even YouTube, but you can find me at Rishabh in Cloud. And yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Great.
Yeah, so today our theme of this episode is LangChain. So we're going to just talk about what it is. So first question is, what is LangChain and how it can be used with AI search, Rishabh?
Sure. So LangChain is an open source framework that lets you build LLM powered applications. Don't just think, you know, simple apps where you're integrating OpenAI's API and now you can chat with a large language model, just like ChatGPT, but within your apps. But the extensibility of what you can build is just, you know, there's no limit because of the tools, the agents, the APIs that are available through LangChain. And we can also, you know, go over the offerings that they have within their tools, if, you know, we do want to do that. But yeah, you basically have the ability to build chatbots and agents and, you know, other things that are powered by AI using different large language models and things like Azure AI Search, which I recently have been exploring. And I think your question was, you know, how it works with Azure AI Search. There's an amazing documentation available both from Azure on Azure AI Search, its features and how you can do different things. But also LangChain has an Azure AI Search doc that's available, which I used to integrate it into my project.
That's brilliant. So let's dive into some of the functionality of LangChain. So what are some of the use case of where LangChain and AI Search have been successfully applied?
Sure. So in my personal experience, you know, what I have used Azure AI Search for is mostly RAG, which stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation, kind of pipelines, right? And that's where I think it's the best offering because of the generous free tier that you get with Azure AI Search. And what I have built with that is, you know, I've built a YouTube assistant bot where, you know, it gets the transcript of the video. So you basically paste a YouTube video URL and you ask questions to that YouTube video. And then it does a RAG. So you get the relevant context from the video based on your question. And then it's able to answer your question based on just that video. So think of, you know, podcasts that are 3 hours or 4 hours long, but you don't have the time to just go through the entire video. You can ask, hey, what did person X say on this podcast about, you know, AI, let's say. And then you'll get all the bullet points from this chatbot, which is amazing, you know, because it saves me time. It summarizes videos and podcasts that I am interested in, but I don't have the time to watch them. And that is like one example, but Azure AI Search, what I found is you also have, you know, capabilities of within RAG, you have relevancy score. So just to give you a context, what RAG is basically, so large language models, and you might have seen this with, you know, ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever you use, is when you ask them questions that is too recent, you'll get a response like, hey, I don't know, because this hasn't happened yet, because they were trained until 2023 or 2022 or 2021. Yeah, you know, with GPT-3, it was data until 2021. So it doesn't know about current affairs or, you know, things that are happening right now. But what you can do is you can provide that context to the large language model. So you can say, hey, just like with my YouTube assistant example, you know, you can say, hey, here's the whole script of the YouTube video, which you might not know of because it just was released 3 days ago. But I want you to answer this specific question. So you can imagine that a YouTube script for a 3-hour long video is going to be huge, right?
Yeah.
So we can't pass all of that to OpenAI or to Azure OpenAI services because they have token limits, right? You have a certain amount of context that you can provide and you need to be within those token limits. And that's where chunking and all those concepts come in, is you break down that 3-hour long transcript into smaller chunks of documents and you store that in a vector database, which Azure AI Search functions as. So the SDK for Azure AI Search, whether you are using directly or you're using it through tools like LangChain or Semantic Kernel, is you have that ability to break down a huge document into smaller chunks, store it within Azure AI Search, and you have the ability to do search on these documents. So let's say we are talking about this podcast, right? Yeah. Once this podcast is released, it'll have a transcript, which is, I don't know, let's say 50 pages long. And we'll break it down to single page, which will be 50 individual pages that will sit inside, you know, and it can be any storage. It can be Azure Blob storage, but Azure AI Search has capabilities to handle that for you. And then you can basically, when I ask, hey, where does Rishabh work, right?
Yeah.
So what would happen behind the scenes is it'll go and look at the documents wherever Rishabh's workspace was mentioned, which was basically in the introduction of this podcast. And it'll grab that specific page and use that as context and pass it along your question to the large language model. And now the large language model knows that Rishabh works at Twilio based on this page. And it'll get back that response to the user. So,
speaking of context, is that the same as system prompt then in Azure OpenAI?
Sorry, did you say system prompt?
Yeah, is that the same? How LangChain use context?
That is a good question. I think when you're building a chatbot, you can have it within the system prompt. And if you're building something, you know, like a question answer machine or where you don't need the chat capabilities, but it's more of a question and answer situation. Yeah, you have that within the prompt template. So within the prompt template, you'll say, hey, here are the docs that are relevant to this question.
Okay, that's brilliant.
You had the right idea.
In your experience, how does LangChain and AI Search impact like different like semantic search functionality? Because is it the same?
That's a good question.
Azure Semantic Search and then LangChain, like, I'm not sure they have a functionality called Semantic Search or higher.
Let me see. I'm going to dive into my project, but I do feel like there are some functionalities, you know, like similarity search, hybrid search, that you're able to, you know, utilize within your application. I don't know about semantic search.
No worries. So let's ask you a different question. So in your experience, what challenges do we face when using AI search with LangChain? What are some of the challenges you came across?
That's a good question. I would say my experience so far has been been really good, even though it has been only for a short amount of time. You know, it's only been like a month that I started using Azure AI Search. I've been using LangChain for, you know, quite a few months now. Documentation wise, I think, with examples, I think like LangChain and Azure AI Search can, I might even contribute with some examples. I think we can have more robust examples of, you know, different, concepts and cover them. Whether that's on the LangChain docs or whether that's on the Azure AI Search docs. But I was able to get it configured pretty quickly, which is nice. And I was able to call different methods, which is nice. Which means, you know, both of those teams have done great jobs when it comes to covering the documentation side. But I think with examples, it would make it, you know, even better. Like, hey, if you want to do this, you know, here's an example app that we built. And I'm pretty sure that it's already in pipeline and they're coming up with that.
Okay. So
no challenges.
LangChain let you like integrate different services like Slackbot, like Slack, Jira and things, and GitHub as well. You just connect it without writing more complex Python code on top of it.
Exactly. So you can have your RAG running through Azure AI Search, but you can on top of that, if you want, you know, Bing Search capabilities or Wikipedia to do some more thorough research on your answers, or even something like Twilio, if you want to send, you know, a text message or voice call, you have those tools built in within LangChain.
Okay. So how does, in your experience when working with LangChain, how does it work with different contexts like text and images or audio?
In compared with like question.
Normal Azure Search, is it the same method?
I haven't worked with media yet. Yeah. So my exposure has been just text. I've worked with like different types of text. So, you know, PDFs. Yeah. All right. But I think the extraction is still the same. It's just that it's text in form of PDFs. It's text on a website. So you extract that and load it into your pipeline. But yeah, I haven't worked with like video or images.
That's
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting question I thought of. So it's just pretty much like PDF. You just put it like in GitHub and stuff and just exported it.
Yeah. So you can put it in GitHub or wherever it's accessible. So if it's in your blobs or like Azure storage account, you'll need those connection strings, right, to bring in those PDFs and then chunk it down to smaller pages and then upload it. Yeah.
Okay. So thanks. So it's in your experience, what are some of the project that you use LangChain for and that's been successful? Or is it just POC at the moment?
Yeah. So there's this talk that I give about introduction to LangChain as the framework.
Yeah.
And people, so I have like two basic examples within that talk to cover just the concepts and how LangChain works. One of them is very basic. It's just like a pet's name generator where you select what kind of pet you have and provide a color of your pet. Yeah. And it gives you like cool names, which is very basic. But then the second one is YouTube Assistant, which is like if you go to Free Code Camp YouTube channel and search for LangChain course, I've included that project within that course. And you can kind of see the capabilities you have of building something like that that might help you. The other thing that I built, and it uses Twilio, is, you know, a summarizer bot. So let's say you have an article, right? And I'm notoriously, you know, guilty of bookmarking tweets and articles that I want to read later, but you know that, like, most of the times you don't go back and read them. I try my best to go back and clear up my bookmarks and stuff and go through them. So what I built is you basically paste a link to that article, and it sends you a summary of that article as text message. So because now I have a notification on my phone saying that, hey, you want to read this article, but if you didn't, here's the summary. So it has like bullet points, which is again built with, you know, LangChain, Azure AI Search, and Twilio SMS. Yeah.
Okay, so I take it is that stored on your GitHub then, Richard?
So for others to, it is private for now. Okay. But yeah, the goal is to have that available publicly. Yeah. And yeah, you can check out my GitHub. I have other LangChain examples. Just type Rishabh Kumar 7 GitHub, and you'll get my GitHub. And then you can type in LangChain in my repositories, and you'll see all of the LangChain repositories. Yeah.
That's brilliant. So as this episode is coming to an end, how can someone get started with LangChain and integrate it with Azure Search?
Good question. So if you're a Python dev, which, you know, I use, so LangChain, an important point is only available in Python and JavaScript / TypeScript, right? So if you're a Python dev, you can go to LangChain, or you can search it, search in your browser, LangChain Python, and it'll take you to the homepage of the Python version of the framework. And there are quick start guides, there are docs. That's the best way to get started. You have an extensive list of tools that LangChain can work directly with. And similarly, if you're a JavaScript or TypeScript person, you can do the same. So LangChain JavaScript, and it'll take you to the JavaScript version. If you're looking for a video-based resource, you know, as I said, I have an hour and 50-minute long course. If you just type in Free Code Camp Introduction to LangChain in your browser, there will be a YouTube course that is available for you to take. It includes examples and stuff. And I think that's a good way to start with LangChain. And then I have a video that's upcoming in the... Oh, we are in April already. So it's upcoming this month sometime, which talks about basically what we were discussing is the use of LangChain with Azure AI Search.
Okay, so I've just got a question just for myself. So how would you use, when do you know when to use LangChain for other than like the native Azure OpenAI, like use that, like do it with Python and stuff? How do you know when to use LangChain itself?
I want to say that if you want, so like, let's say you're at a hackathon or if you want a really quick way to demonstrate an idea that you had in your mind and you want to build a AI LLM app, I think LangChain is great in those scenarios. But my experience is that, and this is also like, you know, working at Twilio and with other companies on different AI powered apps, has been that developers use, you know, the SDKs and the libraries directly within, like, as you said, you know, the Azure OpenAI or Azure Search, instead of using a framework. And I can see that why that is the reason. So even with LangChain, having been working with this framework for the past 6-7 months, things are changing so rapidly that the methods that you used previously don't work anymore or are deprecated, and now they have a new way of doing things. So like, you can't have that within, you know, like a production use case. And I feel like, you know, things like SDKs that are official from Microsoft or, you know, Azure, they are more robust and have better long-term support. And I think that's why there's like a mindset of, hey, if you want to build something long term and like is going to be used if you're going to build something for work, yes, I would say, you know, build something with like the SDKs itself directly. That's been my experience. Maybe it'll change. But yeah, for now.
Okay. So that was a great question. For learning and while SDK with like Python and stuff is for like production stuff you want to do in real world. So that's different. Okay, cool. So as this episode is coming to an end, we will have to find out about yourself. So are you going to any events in the future? Tech events?
Oh, good question. I know that Build is coming around. I won't be able to make it, but I'm excited for, you know, just the virtual experience. So Microsoft Build is coming around. I know we met at the MVP Summit, which was awesome. And just excited about all the great things that are coming within the, you know, the container landscape, serverless and AI. So excited to see what all announcements we'll see at Build and the what other events. So we do have meetups here at Microsoft Reactor in Toronto. I usually speak at some of them. So there's the global AI bootcamp that happened, right? And I gave this Langchain talk, and now there's global Azure bootcamp that's happening this month. So I'm excited to attend that.
Okay, that's brilliant. So one last thing. So how can others get in touch with yourself, Rishab?
Sure. So you can find me.
Do you want to know more?
Yeah. So you can find me at rishabkumar.com. That's the easiest way and has like all my links and stuff. It's rishabkumar.com. It has my Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and all other social media platforms that you might use. Also my GitHub and stuff. So yeah, that's the best way to find me.
Yeah, thanks. And also you learn to cloud. The program. So yeah. So you can find that. Do you want to talk about more for that for viewers?
So I think, this is the right way. Learn to Cloud is an open source guide that helps you learn cloud, as the name suggests. So if you are someone who is either struggling, to break into cloud or are just starting out, go check it out. It's all free. All the resources we have there are free. It roughly takes people 6 to 12 months to go through the entire curriculum. So it's built with first-hand experience by Gwen, who's a great friend, works at Microsoft as Cloud Advocate, and me, because we both are kind of like self-taught people who started in help desk and moved into cloud computing and DevOps. So yeah, check it out. I think it's a great resource. We have around 4,000 something GitHub stars. And last year we had around 160,000 users using the web platform. So go check it out. It's at learntocloud.guide is the URL.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for joining this episode, Richard. And in a few weeks, it's going to be on Toast Media, like Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube. Thanks a lot. Bye.